Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So the more information we're getting, there's a website, a news affiliate, CBS News affiliate out of San Antonio called KENS5. KENS5, it's out of San Antonio, CBS affiliate. They have a story of, and again, it's fascinating as to who the kids and the parents of the children, of the survivors, are allowing to talk to what affiliates. If you notice that CNN is doing, you know, there's parents that are talking to CNN. But there's some parents that aren't. They're talking to Fox. It's like Uvalde is a border town. It's a town that obviously 80% of their law enforcement interactions occur with illegal crossings. So it's a pro border patrol, ICE, a lot of employees there, even local law enforcement all work on the border. This is a district that voted in the 80% for Trump. They're pro-border police, so when it comes to the way they see the world, they're not dealing with CNN. They're talking to Fox, and you have other people that vote the other way. So you're seeing the breakdown. But it's the local affiliates in San Antonio that have incredible information and stories, and one of them is KENS5. It's a San Antonio CBS affiliate. And there's a story of a boy who's talking to the CBS affiliate in San Antonio and basically saying that the cops at one point were talking through the broken glass trying to get kids out of the school. And when the cops were talking to the kids and interacting, telling them we're law enforcement, we're here to help, you got to get out, the shooter was outside adjacent to where the cops were talking, and the conversations between the police and the children were intercepted by the shooter. And so for the kids talking to the shooter, or the kids talking to law enforcement, one of those children were killed because they were in a conversation with law enforcement. It's at that point when that happened that two cops entered the school, engaged with the shooter, and were wounded. Now that time frame, which is from a child, an eyewitness, to a CBS affiliate in San Antonio, is enough for you to understand that there was a resource officer with a gun, with a weapon system, handgun, outside, watches the guy walk through an open door, which is wrong. Guy has a rifle, which is wrong. He enters the school. There's no shots fired. But the time frame between the resource officer allowing this guy to penetrate the school, the hour-long rampage is what most of these law enforcement people are suggesting it took place, and the fact that you've got cops, you know, law enforcement outside of the school talking to kids inside the school. When one kid is killed after talking to law enforcement, they enter the school. That would imply that there was shooting going on and that law enforcement was engaging kids from inside the school, from the outside, without being in the school. So now this is like, wait a second. what's happening here? This isn't the protocol. This isn't what the training is. It's not what Buffalo's training. It's not what Erie County Sheriffs are training. It's not what the FBI's trained. These are legitimate questions. There's a video that's viral right now about parents. Again, these are, it's being pushed by people that have an agenda. These are obviously the national people pushing these videos are anti-couple. So let's take everything in consideration. One of the viral videos shows law enforcement detaining parents trying to get into the school. One of the things that's important about that video is that you do not, I repeat, you do not hear gunfire in that 6 minute long video. So it could very well be that the shooter was already dead. The parents were gathering. The parents obviously are emotional, obviously are scared, obviously are upset, and they want access to the school. Cops are going to do their thing. Law enforcement is going to keep that. You don't want, you cannot have, how many shooters are there? Is there only one? Is there two? You don't want parents running through a school, seeing the carnage, all that crime scene evidence that's now, it's, you have to keep parents out from the crime scene. If that video was shot, if that video was filmed and you heard gunshots going on, you know, that's a different story. You do not hear gunshots in that video. And that video is being used as evidence that law enforcement cared more about detaining parents than actually getting the shooter. You can't, there's no way to determine the time frame in which that, you don't have any context of when that video was shot, when that video was filmed, and what, when in the shooting that video was filmed, right? Because if you hear the gunshots, you know that the rampage is still going on and cops are detaining parents and tasering parents, which they are, that you could clearly see a parent being detained and being, you know, just arrested essentially. But again, is it afterwards? How, you know, you, there's no way to make a determination as to whether or not the rampage was still going on. But but law enforcement must keep parents off the scene. Absolutely. I'm 100%. I understand. But that story of the little boy talking to someone and then that conversation is intercepted by the shooter, that kid is killed, and law enforcement then enters the school, that's where the two guys are shot, the two cops are shot, implies that law enforcement was still engaging with people from the outside on the scene, but not in the school. And that's not what they're supposed to be doing. So I'm putting that as a point to mention that as we talk about all the things we have to do, new and different, the laws we have to pass, the infrastructure we have to build, some law enforcement agencies are doing the right thing. Some are doing the wrong thing. Thank God a Border Patrol officer was able to say, I'm trained. I've got a long rifle. I'm going to go handle this. That's it's a blessing that it didn't go on longer. It could have, more people could have died. But the reason why you get in as soon as possible is to mitigate. It's to shut it down. The debate on how we got here, where an 18-year-old kid has a gun and 500 rounds of ammo and wants to go kill a bunch of kids, that there's a time for that. There's a time to decide what we can do more with schools. What kind of windows do you want? What kind of protocols do you want? What needs to change, right? The after actions review. There's a time for that. But let's assure that we actually have taken the lessons learned from previous mass shootings and actually done, we've actually implemented things, because it appears here that a whole lot was not followed. A whole lot did not go the way we've trained people in the wake of all of these shootings. And it appears that the good guys, if you're a law enforcement officer, you're a law enforcer, and you have a weapon system on you during an active shooter, and you're not in the face of that shooter, then you're a civilian with a gun, right? I mean, it's as simple as that. You're a spectator. This is not obviously a Buffalo problem. It's not an Erie County problem. We saw how our law enforcement responds. They follow their training, and they have incredible intestinal fortitude, and God bless them for it. But if we had an Aaron Salter as a resource officer in Uvalde, I don't know. I mean, we're going to get more information, but I'm sure there's a lot of Monday morning quarterback and a lot of second guessing, but this looks really bad. It looks really indefensible. Line one is Lewis in Lockport. Lewis, what's on your mind, sir?
Good morning, sir. How are you? I just wanted to, you actually kind of covered what I was going to touch on with that lady that was talking before about, you know, the resource officer standing down and stuff, and did somebody give him that command? And you know, based on the training that I had, you know, I was prior law enforcement. I retired last year. And we were always taught, obviously, what you just said, to get in there immediately and stop the bloodletting. Whether you have to go in through a window or a door, whatever you have to do, you got another guy with you, that's great. But if you don't, and you're the only one on scene, you're going, because you got to change this channel and keep them from killing other people, you know?
And, you know, Lewis, I mean, first of all, thank you for your service and everything you represent. That training is because it's worked, right? We've learned our lessons from, you know, the old days, and that training works. And by the way, it's not to say that it's easy to do. It's not to say that you're not thinking a million different things, but a shooter that's engaged in whatever, they're high, they're crazy, whatever situation they're in, putting rounds at a target is going to make you think about something other than shooting at unarmed innocent people. And so it's the very least, it's the whole principle of what is suppressive fire, what is covering fire. You're putting I'm putting your head down while I get closer to you so I could take you out of the fight. And that's the whole principle behind your training. And what blows me away is that the answers that we're getting from these press conferences are not complete, and there's a lot of, hey, we got to find out the timeline. But what they've admitted to right now and what eyewitnesses have said, if law enforcement officers are talking to children and those children, by responding back, are being killed, and that is what causes you to then enter the school and put fire on the shooter, Lewis, I mean, just that, there's a whole lot wrong with that entire scenario.
Yeah, and training is not obviously uniform throughout the country. I mean, we're taught a little bit, and maybe I'm being biased, a little bit better here in Western New York with the police training we go through. But, you know, Uvalde is a small place. Maybe they haven't had it or haven't had it to the degree that we've had. I mean, I wouldn't in that situation, I wouldn't have stopped to talk to the kids. I would have just, you know, gotten in there. And then, you know, maybe if you got a foothold in one room, you know, if you got somebody with you, try and get some information on maybe where he is and move to the threat, you know, you got to break his OODA loop. You got to break him from continuing what he's doing. But, you know, if you get shot in the process like those other two officers did, I mean, God bless them. It would have been better if they had just gotten in there and it happened. At least they would have, the shooter would have been concentrating on those two and not killing any more kids. But I don't want to quarterback. I mean, I
don't either. And I appreciate you saying that, because I don't want this to appear. I'm just telling you that yesterday we had the press conference at the end of the program, and that thing jumped out of me, and I thought, okay, everyone's going to pile on now. Now it's official that there's a time gap, and you're admitting there was a resource officer there. We didn't know if he was armed or not, but there was a resource officer there and there was an open door. So everyone's going to jump on that, right? It's emotional. Everyone wants to blame someone. None of this makes sense, how a person could kill anyone, let alone 19 children and two teachers. Everyone's innocence is ripped away. We need to pile on a bad guy. This is what the media was going to pile on. And sure enough, within 20 seconds of that, everyone started asking the questions. And when law enforcement had the opportunity to answer those questions, Lewis, the response was so defensive. And, you know, how dare you question our intent? How dare you question our loyalty? We have officers that lost children in there. And again, that's another tell that you're not, there is a time gap. The time gap has now been confirmed. We now know there was a resource officer that had a firearm that did not engage, and we know that there was a moment of, there was probably 36 minutes between that resource officer talking to the shooter and two officers being hit. And then we have an additional 15 to 20 minutes before we have another wounded tactical guy from Border Patrol that kills the shooter. And we know that there wasn't body armor. It was just a vest. There was no plates. We know that because of the fatal wounds that the shooter took or received. Right. But, you know, Lewis, when you look at your training and you think of, you know, so I got a guy that's down there that works Border Patrol, and he said that so much of their law enforcement is illegal crossings, right? That's all everyone is focused on is people sneaking in. And the training that they did at that school or other schools in that area are due to what happens if an illegal crosses over and tries to hide in a school. You know what I mean? The threat is like, don't let the people from the southern border get into our school systems. You would think that there had to have been some second tier, third tier level training for at least law enforcement. Not, I can understand the schools not knowing what to do, but the law enforcers have to know what to do. Their whole thing is keeping illegals from getting into schools and people's homes, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But hey, listen, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your service. And it's experts like Lewis that, you know, we rely on in these situations. These guys have done it, and that's their whole thing. But, it's just as rough. It's rough. And, you know, it's easy to be pessimistic, and it's easy to point fingers and say whatever. And God knows I don't want to reflexively defend CNN at any chance I can get. But they are asking the questions that I think a lot of people want answers to. And I'm really not impressed at all with the way that they have been handled for asking those tough questions. They're legitimate questions, and parents want to know. And then, of course, the other piece is that as you look at this and you try to connect what should have happened and what did happen, we look at Tops in Buffalo and we say, okay, well, let's look at what happened there. And let's look at law enforcement's response to it. Let's look at the only person with a gun, the only person that had a sidearm was Aaron Salter. And let's look at the way he responded. And let's look at what the decisions he made. To me, when you compare the two, it just is all the more impressive that man did what he did in the time frame he had to think. It really, really shows you what that's who you want on point. That's, you know, and the Erie County Sheriffs and the Buffalo Police Department, they didn't wait for SWAT. They didn't wait for, you know, the helicopter with a sniper. They got in there. And we have those types of law enforcement people in our backyard, and we should be appreciative of that. 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBN. We'll take more of your calls after this quick break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, a topic that we haven't really gotten into when it comes to, you know, you look for similar traits of what all of these mass shooters have in common. You know, people talk about the psychotropic drugs or the bully nature, the fact that they have access to guns. There's a culture, something that you want to compare. What do these things all have in common, right? And everyone profiles that way, from law enforcement to our federal law enforcement. What do we know? Well, you know, there's a connection to torturing animals, things that are innocent and defenseless. They can't fight back. They can't report you. They're animals. You torture animals. And it's almost like a gateway to then wanting to take out masochistic, violent rage towards another, you know, graduated source, right? If you have ideation and you imagine hurting something, well, go to the thing that really can't defend itself. An animal, a child. You know, the sickness of that evil intent. What do these things all have in common? The one thing that keeps coming up, and it's so weird for me to see the reflexive, you know, there's elements of entertainment when they're the, you know, actors and Hollywood, they're the first ones to talk about gun violence. Alec Baldwin is talking about, you know, ban all guns, yet maybe, you know, we start with the type of movies you're putting out there. I mean, you can't have a stance on guns and the gun culture and how America is gun crazy and then literally make hundreds of millions of dollars at the box office with a shoot 'em up. I mean, I don't want to hear Keanu Reeves talk to me about, you know, our movies are too violent. John Wick is essentially gun porn. Right? The whole thing is shooting and killing and punching and stabbing. That's a whole subculture of action films. That's Hollywood is making billions and billions of dollars off of selling that to Americans and people across the globe. Some people in countries could watch it. Nothing happens. Right? But we want to blame something. We want to blame the AR platform, not the AK-47, but the AR platform. You want to blame the Glock, but you don't want to blame another handgun. You want to blame a 9mm or 40 cal. You don't want to blame, right? We have to have a reason why this is happening. Mental illness? Nope, nope, nope. Can't. That's too. Everyone has mental illness. They're not killing people. What's the connection? What do these things all have in common? Well, if you were, you know, a person that took this seriously, you would look at it and say, wait a minute. These young kids that are grabbing guns and killing people in mass amounts. You got the bullying, you've got the, you know, they're being treated for whatever spectrum they have of emotional distress. But the video games, well, that one, no one wants to have that debate. No one wants to have that discussion on why everyone here seems to, there are parents in this audience that watch everything their kids do. The Fortnite is an online game where you can play with your friends, and you're running around and you're shooting people, various weapon systems, and it's a little bit different than Call of Duty. You don't have as much gratuity with the blood and the craziness of that game, but you've got Grand Theft Auto and the Call of Duty franchise, Battlefield franchise. But Fortnite is, at one point, was the most popular game on the market. And you had 8-year-olds playing it. You had 5-year-olds. Everyone was playing it. Girls were playing it. And some people are able to play a game. It's not a problem. Some people can get a wrestling game and pretend that they're Hulk Hogan. They don't go home and put their friend in a full Nelson, and they don't jump off the top turnbuckle of their couch and lower an elbow into their grandma. They're able to understand the difference between fantasy and reality. But some kids are playing those video games and fueling unsupervised. If we're going to connect the dots between what are the similarities between all of these kids, what is that? Is that a problem? Is it a problem in our culture that these violent video games are being played, and that kids without supervision, without the maturity to understand what's happening, their realistic video game is something that actually fuels a desire to want to be violent? I don't even know how to make an argument out of that. But listen, it's one common thread throughout. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I could tell you that from my memory of following these things, like your memory of following these things, that seems to come up as often as any other. If there was one tie with young people and violence in young people, it's the video games. It's Call of Duty in particular, or it's Fortnite, this shooter, the Buffalo shooter, the Parkland shooter, go all the way through all high-profile mass killings, and it's the video games. And so now it's a matter of, well, there's a warning on these things. You can't play them. You can't purchase them unless you're 17 or older. Yet we know parents are purchasing these games for kids younger than that. And you assume they're supervised. You know that there are kids that get access to these games or play it at someone else's house. Is it crack to them? Is it something that we have to safeguard? Are we too violent? Is our culture too violent? Are these movies and video games adding to any of this? Or is that just another easy way to just kind of, you know, take a larger issue that we don't really feel comfortable talking about and literally say, hey, it's the game. It's the movie that made me do it. The devil made me do it. My mental illness made me do it. And we eliminate all accountability across the board. Why is it that your 12-year-old can play Call of Duty and he's on honor roll and he's a star football player and he does everything right, but someone's 12-year-old is playing Call of Duty and they're fantasizing about killing all their friends or killing all their classmates, and it metastasizes into a violent mass shooting? How do you determine that? Is it mom and dad at home? Is it the supervision? Or is it just like guns in America, where some people say education, responsibility, make sure that someone understands that this is not a toy, and you're going to have a well-adjusted person who respects firearms? Or do you just ban it altogether because guns are bad and you're against guns and you hate guns and no one should have guns because you don't like guns? No one should have access to these video games because you don't like those video games. It's interesting when you have a person who's, you know, been to combat, a combat veteran, they come home. One of the things that I was really shocked by was you would have a bunch of 19, 18-year-old kids. And this was, you know, 15 years ago. But you would have 19, 20-year-old kids, and they would have a really horrible firefight. and they would come back from a life and death experience that was very kinetic, white knuckled, and, you know, horrific. And they would immediately go to a video game and play that video game for 5 hours. And in that setting of playing a violent video game, they would talk about how they're doing, what went on, what the deal was. And I always thought to myself, you know, maybe that younger generation at time, you know, this is 15 years ago, but I was, you know, approaching 30 when these kids were 18. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe this generation has been exposed to so much that they're desensitized to the combat experience. That when they go to combat, they're going to come back different, because in World War II, you never saw what carnage looked like. Right? I mean, you could go deer hunting, you could do your thing, but for the most part, the all drafty army in the Vietnam, Korea, World War II era, the first time they had seen what would happen in a fight was when they experienced it themselves in a fight. And maybe that could break you. Maybe that could just like break your brain. But you've got a new generation that came up and they saw videos of horrific things. They saw movies of horrific things, slasher films in the 80s that evolved into, you know, Faces of Death on VHS, which evolved to super graphic, violent movies of death and dismemberment, which evolved to watching real live decapitations from ISIS on video, which then moves to video games and culture. Everything is violent. Maybe they'll have a greater sense of what real and what isn't real and compartmentalize it better than other generations have. And what I found out in real time is that actually makes it worse, because when they see it for real, it's a completely different experience than a fantasy land of watching a movie or watching a video game. You get a false sense of security that you've been desensitized to things, and you experience them for yourself, and then you're like, whoa, that's not at all Steven Spielberg. He's way off. That video game is nonsense. I thought that's what it really was, but it's not. And now, you know, I need to talk to someone. That there's a false sense of security of a generation that's desensitized to violence. But when we talk about video games, it seems to be something that the industry, our friends in Hollywood, really don't want to discuss. 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBN. What do you make of that? Line one is Jeff in Kenmore. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, hi. I mean, the whole world has the video games, and we pretty much watch the same movies, and the problem still is here. So is it the video games, is it the movies, or is it something else? And as far as connections go, you say, you know, what's the common denominator? The common denominator in most of the things is AR-15, right? Are they all? Most of the.
Well, when you're talking about the mass shooters, right? The school mass shooting, it's overwhelmingly the semi-automatic rifle that we're talking about. If you look at violence in general, generational violence, that age group, CDC and FBI murder rates, it's the 9mm 40 caliber handgun that's killing more people than almost four times the amount of semi-automatic rifle murders per year.
Right. I'm saying
that you're right. The one thing that they have in common is a tool that they can use to put rounds down range. The rifle is what the go-to. And why is it the AR platform? You know, the Army just went over to a brand new rifle, and in 2023, the U.S. Army will have we have the M4, which is the AR equivalent. The Army's going over to the M5, right? So the 5.56 millimeter is now a 6.8 millimeter by 5.1. I wonder what the difference will be if, you know, we've had that rifle for so long. It's black. It scares some people. It looks not like an AK-47 did when the M16 came out. It almost looked like it was made by you know, plastic. It looked like a toy. Didn't look like a weapon of war. And the U.S. Army got a lot of, you know, grief for that in Vietnam. But it became, now when you show that rifle, it's been the main rifle for the U.S. military for so long. It is a military rifle, right? No matter what it is. The X5 is a different rifle. It's a different color. It looks different. And I wonder if the AR platform will have the same, you know, the same stigma once the Army has that new ballistic, the new rifle, the new look. I'm just curious. But you're right. The rifle is the common thing. The gun, the weapon system is the common thing. But when it comes to the video games, it's so weird how defensive the Hollywood and the video game industry and all these people that make a ton of money, Activision, they don't want to talk about that at all.
Right, but worldwide, do you have the problem? And we all play the same video games. We all watch the same movies. The only difference...
And you can have a 9-year-old playing Call of Duty, and the kid grows up to be well-adjusted, whatever. You got one kid that plays at 18, and he kills his school.
Right, so there's other factor involved, and what is it? I mean, that Buffalo shooter, right? The Buffalo one that, I mean, or the guy that came to Buffalo to do the shooting, he was 12 years old, or 13 years old, when, in 2016, right? So between 2016 till now, this kid is now radicalized to come to Buffalo and shoot up a black supermarket and black people, right? So within those 6 years, something triggered him. Is it video games? Is it politics? Is it what he's watching online? Is it relatives? You know, what is it, you know, that allows this kid to be able to change from a 12 to 13 year old kid to...
It's a really good point. I mean,
for market, right?
That's a really good argument, because it's like, how is it in that period of time, what could happen in your life that would make you A, believe something, B, evolve to the point where that belief is the central part of your life, and then C, act in a violent way to somehow support that ideology? That's a really strange dip. That's a deep dive into psychosis.
Right. So blaming video games, blaming TV. In the 80s, they blamed metal music for killing kids. I mean, come on.
Oh, remember that? Remember that? Yep. Remember the metal music that had subliminal messages?
Yeah, playing it backwards, you know, devil's telling.
Playing it backwards, and it'll make you kill yourself, kill whatever.
And sued them, you know, and
right, well,
you know, and then you look at the, you know, they tried to ban that stuff, which is insane. You know, music.
Who was it that got sued? Was that Black Sabbath or?
Ozzy Osbourne, probably. I think Twisted Sister was.
Yeah.
The lead singer was up on there doing. He did a really good. I think. I'm not sure what you call it. You know, when he went up and he spoke in front of Congress.
His testimony, yeah.
Spring coming hearings. It was really good. And, what I'm trying to get at is you could take away everything. That's not the problem. I'm liberal-based, but you could take away everything. You're still going to have problems. It's trying to figure out what's the root of the problem, right? Now, of course, the automatic rifle to me, I mean, when has, you know, this rifle that's out there that they talk about, AR-15 or whatever one is similar to it, not a huge gun guy. But I'm all for hunting and people having, their carry permit. I'm all for, you know, a licensed person who has it, who's of age. I like the 21 over 18. That's just my thing. If they're going to use 21 for everything else, you know, whatever. But then if they have, what was I getting at? As far as those specific rifles go, are they necessary? Like, when does police actually use that rifle? Like, in our society, not the criminals and not the person who's using it for violence and doing shootings, like mass shootings or individual shootings, whatever. When is that rifle actually used in civilian, like, police? I mean, are they using...
Well, police use all guns to kill people, right?
Well, not... I know that, but I meant, like, the SWAT team, right? I would use...
Yeah.
I would say a SWAT might have it over, like, a regular police officer. Have access to it or something, you know.
Yeah, so a lot of the Department of Homeland Security made sure that more officers have ARs now than probably any time than in the past. Some guys keep it in their patrol car, shotguns, you name it. But all those rifles are law enforcement has for the same reason why they have a handgun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How often?
You know what I mean? But I get that. See, look, I feel when we're talking about semi-automatic rifles, I feel the same way that I do about a motorcycle. You know, the people in my life that had their crotch rockets, they drove them 140 miles an hour, and almost 70% of them are dead. Some of them killed other people on their motorcycles. Some people got hit by cars, and now those people in cars have to live with the fact that they killed someone. But they all drove really fast and really reckless, and I grew up looking at motorcycles thinking, I don't understand it, right? I don't get it. Everyone I know that drove really fast is dead or, you know, or killed someone else. And I think, why does anyone need it? I don't get it. You might not understand the culture. You might understand, you know, the Second Amendment, or you might not understand why. No. My point is that how do you assure that a person that has a really fast motorcycle is going to be responsible with it? And how do you assure that a person that's going to be drunk or stupid isn't going to be stupid with it?
Yeah, but the thing with the motorcycles, they're all registered, insured. So you have this AR-15, you have insurance. You have an AR-15 has a serial number. It's registered. You have these. But this kid legally went.
Well, but I'm saying the registered and the licensing of a gun doesn't mean you're going to use it responsibly. As we've seen with so many people that have registered guns and legally purchased guns and end up killing people with it. And getting a license in a car doesn't mean you're not going to be drunk or drive it recklessly or even know how to use it, right? I mean, you could buy a car and not even know how to.
Right.
I'm just saying the guy from Fast and Furious got a Porsche that obviously the driver of that Porsche didn't know how to control. It was too much car for him, and he ended up dying. People buy things legally and are licensed to buy them, and they don't know what they're doing, and they could hurt themselves. They could hurt other people. I'm saying that the licensing and the registering aren't necessarily the step that makes sure that responsible people have those things. There's got to be something above and beyond that. But I got to go to a break. I appreciate your phone call, man. But I get what you're saying. I hear it. We're going to go take a break. When we come back, we will have more of the program. 803-0930. 1-800-616-WBEN. More of your calls right after this.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.